Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and spokesperson for God. It is time for the Brain Massage Show. PepsiCo has decided to join the homosexual movement. So has Home Depot. The Nashville Gay Pride website thanks Home Depot for their $5,000 donation to their Gay Pride Festival. Home Depot also sponsored a booth at the festival where children's craft workshops were offered. For some reason, the Home Depot, oops, Home Depot, that's funny, because as a matter of fact, two Home Depot stores are on the Fort Lauderdale cruising for sex listing that is used by homosexual men who are looking for places to find partners with whom to have anonymous sex. How sick. So, okay, Home Depot seems to have a particular interest in promoting this disease-ridden unnatural behavior among children. Quote, the company has sponsored similar children's venues at pro-homosexual events in Atlanta, Kansas City, Durham, Portland, and San Diego, end quote. Now, perhaps you're wondering about this cruising for sex list. You know, it's weird. You cannot find a parallel for this debauchery among heterosexuals, as perverted as that crowd can get, huh? Although, I'm sure it won't be far behind. I mean, try to imagine a website where men can go to find some woman for anonymous sex. Or they can just go trolling about, you know, or vice versa. I think you know what I mean. Of course, it goes on, but I mean, a website that provides a list of locations where men and women can go have anonymous sex. It's just, it would be condemned within the heterosexual community, but it is accepted in the homosexual community. They provide a category called cruisy toilets. In this section, they identify public restrooms where homosexuals can find partners. You know, the problem is that straights use these facilities too, man. Sometimes young straights, you know, like your kids. This is too much. Perhaps one good thing could come of it. Perhaps they should publish this and allow parents to have it so they can know what stores to avoid and what parks to avoid and what restrooms to avoid. Now, I've said it so often, I hesitate because I don't want to be redundant, but folks, I really just cannot understand why these corporations fall for this. It makes no sense to me. Those of you who own some stock in these companies, I mean, what do you think about this? So I'm on one of these boards, you know, and I'm at a meeting, and I'm being asked to sponsor a gay pride march, and I'm saying, why would I want to identify my company on either side of such a hot, sensitive public debate like this? I mean, what are we selling here? You know, what's our business here? Over there at PepsiCo, what is it that you're selling? What is the matter with you people? You want to connect your product to the homosexual agenda and to that whole debate? Are you crazy? What is the matter with you guys at Home Depot? You know, Homo Pepsi, Home Depot. What's next? You know that AT&T went that route and almost destroyed them. Jaguar went that route, practically destroyed them. Why would anyone want to identify themselves with the wicked, perverse lifestyle of these people? And why would any CEO want to make buying their product a statement about where we stand on the issue of homosexuality, on either side of it? And what are you people in business for? To promote social causes or to sell your product? I mean, go ahead and support whatever cause you want privately with your own money. But good night, why identify your corporation with that nonsense? I mean, okay, you see, why are you so frustrated? Because I used to enjoy Pepsi. I used to enjoy walking into Home Depot to find some good opportunities to make purchases for things I need around the house. Forget it. I'm on to Orchards, man. I like it better there anyway. And forget, I'm going to the real thing. No Homo Pepsi for me. No Home Depot for me, friend. Well, we've known for a long time what the TV crowd is after. Clearly, they are hell's office of propaganda. HBO scored highest among 15 networks for its representation of homosexual characters last season. Now, get this, folks. The homosexual community comprises about 3% of the population. Out of HBO's 14 original primetime series, 10 of them included content reflecting the lives of homosexual, bisexual, and transgender people. That's a whopping 42% representation of the network's broadcasting. So I guess I guess they should be called Homo Broadcasting Organization. Okay, I'm getting carried away with all that, but what do you want to bet? Not one of those shows depicted a homosexual in a negative way. What do you bet all of them were scripted to solicit sympathy for the homosexual cause? How many do you suppose showed homosexuals cruising public bathrooms or parks for anonymous sex or developing dialogue revealing their core values and beliefs about sexuality? For example, that they actually believe, most of them, virtually all of them, in pansexuality. I mean, in other words, in that culture, everything goes. You don't own me, that kind of thing. Or the domestic abuse that is so common among homosexuals. Or the fact that 60% of all AIDS cases come from the homosexual community. You know, stuff like that. Raisler points out that these TV shows and movies don't, quote, talk about the high rates of sexually transmitted diseases within the gay community, end quote. And, quote, they don't talk about the fact that their lifestyles are much more unstable, end quote. And, quote, they don't have the commitment that married couples have, end quote. Or that homosexuals have an average life expectancy of something in the area of 40, 45 years old. So we know what they're up to. It certainly is not about reflecting real life. It's all very skewed. Anyway, I discussed the Harvey Milk Day thing yesterday, and we can move on today. Happy? Well, 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 what have we here? Well, now, here is something that was brought to my attention recently from our research department. Gardasil being pushed on young people, even against their will. In fact, a young lady who has been attempting to immigrate into this country for the last 10 years, with the help of her family, of course, by the way, legally, has been told that unless she receives the controversial vaccination, she cannot immigrate into our country. Well, why does she object to taking the vaccine? Now, folks, those of you promoting government-controlled health care really need to listen to this segment of my show. Those of you squawking about immigration reform, listen up. And you know what? I can see right now by the volume of material here sitting in front of me, if I get rolling on this, I'm going to roll right through the break, and I cannot do that these days. You want to look into the future of healthcare and the corruption that is going on right now under our noses and how a young kid trying to legally immigrate into our country from Britain for the last 10 years is now being told she must expose herself to this dangerous vaccine in order to immigrate. Do you want to see the future of our entire healthcare system if we don't stop this? Stay tuned. My friends, I'll be right back. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach with our 15-second brain massage on Bible prophecy. Does a peace treaty in the Middle East mark the beginning of the tribulation? No. According to the Bible, there will be a false peace in the Middle East long before the tribulation begins. Don't be fooled. Join my class and learn the truth.
Sundays from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the Lighthouse, popular talk show host, college professor, and pastor Jerry Scheidbach will be offering a personal hands-on brain massage on Bible prophecy. All are welcome. Call 805-347-9887 for more information. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, beloved brain masseur extraordinaire. Someone recently reflected in my hearing, what would the world be like today if Eve had received a brain massage just before she ventured out on that fateful day? What if Hitler had been exposed to a regular brain massage when a boy? What if Stalin had only had the benefit of a brain massage? If Pol Pot and what a world this would be. Thanks, Jim. Gardasil being pushed on our young girls, even against their will. In fact, a young lady attempting to immigrate legally, by the way, has been told that unless she receives this vaccine, she cannot immigrate into our country, even though she's already been here since she was about 3 years old. Well, why does she object to taking the vaccine? All right, Gardasil is a vaccine that is touted as a preventative against infections of human papilloma virus called HPV. Now, this virus, we understand, can cause, doesn't necessarily cause, but can cause cervical cancer. The drug is produced by Merck & Company, and they staunchly defend the distribution deal that they've made with the government and some private companies to distribute this vaccine. A quote, multi-billion dollar gold mine, end quote, as one reporter put it. Why do they need to defend their gold mine? Well, you see, the vaccine has been linked to some deaths and some other very serious side effects. In fact, Dr. Diane Harper, who is a gynecologist, and she's also a obstetrician, quote, helped Merck perform Gardasil's clinical trials and served on Merck's advisory board for the vaccine. And she, quote, told CNN in an interview, quote, Gardasil is not without risks. It's not a freebie, end quote. Yeah, I'll say not without risks. Among the risks, first one, well, death. Quote, according to the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control, more than 25 million doses of Gardasil have been distributed in the United States as of June 1, 2009, resulting in 43 deaths. Gardasil is the confirmed cause of death in 26 of these cases. 9 are still being investigated and 8 remain unconfirmed. And quote, the second ill side effect of this vaccine is something called, I hope I pronounce it right, Guillain-Barré syndrome. That is a disease, I understand, in which the immune system decides to attack part of the nervous system, and it can result in paralysis and death, which has been reported to the CDC as a result of Gardasil. A third serious side effect, blood clots occurring in, quote, the heart, lungs, and legs have reportedly been triggered by Gardasil, end quote. Now, about 40% of the adverse effects occur on the day the vaccination is received. Something like 14,000 reports of problems have been made regarding Gardasil to the CDC. And 93% of these have been determined non-serious, but 7% have been categorized as serious. Now, we're told by experts that if 14,000 reports have been received, then we should multiply that by 10 to get an accurate number of persons who have suffered ill effects from this vaccine. And so someone says, well, isn't that worth it? I mean, you know, given that it prevents HPV and saves lives from being ravaged by cervical cancer? Well, actually, according to Dr. Blaylock, quote, the vaccine has never been proven to be effective. And by the time the vaccine would be needed to prevent cancer, it would be years later and the vaccine would be long gone from the system. If you have the organism already in your cervix, the vaccine actually increases the cervical cancer rate, end quote. Excuse me? Now, get a load of this. Here's the bombshell, folks. If I got your attention, listen, you're going to be amazed. Dr. Harper informs us that, quote, the rate of serious adverse events is greater than the incidence rate of cervical cancer, end quote. You got to be kidding me. Who's the dolt that approved this? Okay, you're getting this. Here's a drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration since 2006 that has never been proved to actually work. That, as a matter of fact, I mean, as a matter of public record, the rate of serious adverse events is greater than the incidence of cervical cancer that it's supposed to address. And it's a drug, by the way, that addresses a sexually transmitted disease. One wonders how the government can stick its nose into something like this and require a kid, any kid, to take a dangerous vaccine against her will? Are you listening? Folks, hear me. You're listening to previews of government-run health care coming to you, a school or a hospital or clinic near you. Don't you realize that the government is going to mandate our girls to get this vaccine? What other medical experiment is going to be conducted by the authority of the government when they're in power to force us to participate in these things through government-controlled health care? Hello? And besides all this, her name is Simone Davis. This kid has a much better plan for protecting herself against sexually transmitted diseases. She is using a plan that has been proven to be effective every time it's tried. Tip of the hat to you, Rush. She has taken a vow of chastity until marriage. Reminds me of a cartoon I saw once where a young man was asking what looked to be like perhaps his father or grandfather, hey, what did you guys use for protection? And the father pointed to his wedding ring and said, the wedding ring. Gardasil is the only vaccine required for immigrants that targets a specifically sexually transmitted disease. Simone has taken a chastity till marriage pledge. She's not at risk, friend. But of course, the nanny state government does not believe in such pledges and has no confidence in them or in our young people to keep them. They see our young kids as animals who cannot control their passions or urges. But in any event, it's none of their confounded business to require such a thing. It's not like we are talking about a broadly communicable disease. We're talking about a sexually transmitted disease. And we're talking about a vaccine, by the way, that we know does more harm than good. And we know that. We don't have any proof that it works, but we do know that the incidence of serious harm arising from the treatment is greater than the incidence of the disease it's supposed to cure. I mean, this is government-run healthcare, my friend. This is what we're going to be living with if we go for Obama's bill. All right, let's see what we have here. Here you go. Media downplayed 9/12 D.C. crowd size. And quote, some of you liberals don't see it coming, but I'm telling you, there's a tsunami building right now. And some among you are wondering why the right is getting angry. This is the kind of thing that is really pushing us over the edge. Pictures were taken of the crowd that gathered in D.C. on 9/12, and so we have documentation. The crowd size was well in excess of 1 million people. Those who know how to evaluate these pictures estimate the crowd at 1.7 million. Now, here's an article in our own Santa Maria Times, which, of course, feeds off the AP. But here it is. Quote, thousands march, blah, 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 blah. Where is that? You know what? I didn't bring it in. But you see, try hundreds of thousands. How about that, okay? You see, since it was not multiple millions, they're able to justify their own way of rationalization to get by with thousands. We know what you're up to. You think we've not been paying attention? Look, we've seen it when three people show up for a liberal cause. The number perhaps isn't mentioned. Close-ups are given of the crowd to make it appear as large as possible. And in fact, if a few people under 200 show up for a liberal cause, hundreds gathered. Yeah, I've got documentation of this stuff. Listen to this. When House Press Secretary was asked for his reaction to the 1.7 million protesters that gathered in Washington, D.C. opposing Obamacare and his policies, well, the press secretary said, quote, I don't know who the group is, end quote. The group? That's right. You folks, I find this interesting. I've often had occasion to point out that these guys very consistently say the truth when they're trying to lie. Of course, he's trying to lie. He wants to minimize it, the group, as if it's just some little group. He doesn't know who they are, you see. He's trying to sound, however, dismissive of it, as if it really didn't register with them there in the White House, when we know they were shocked. Just a bunch of nobodies to the Obama crowd. You see, so he's trying to lie, but in his lie, he actually reveals something that is true. They really do not know who we are. It's true, ladies and gentlemen, the Obama administration does not know who America is. They have deceived themselves into thinking we are what their communist teachers have told them that we are. They have believed the lies that our enemies have told about us. But Gibbs and Obama et al. Have no clue who we really are. Where do we start? Obama makes statements that America's doctors perform unnecessary amputations just to make their car payments. He tells foreign countries that we have committed torture as a matter of public policy. And I've addressed that, but he did this in the midst of a huge national debate that was going on at that time over that matter. And he acted as independent judge and jury and maligned his entire country before the world. But you see, it fits the liberal template in his way of thinking. It's the way he sees America. I listened and read his speech presented to Congress recently, and I heard him with my own ears call us all liars. He called us a liar if we believe his health care provides free health care to illegals. I read it. I say it does. Others have read it. They say it does. We've said that it does. He said it's a lie. He's calling us a liar. He says we're a liar if we say that his health care bill sets up government panels who will make decisions for us, life and death decisions for us, who are dependent upon government for their health care. He did not say, folks, like an honest man would, well, some people misunderstand, or okay, let's get some language in this bill that will clarify these concerns. But whenever that's been tried, it's been voted down by his worshipers. No, he simply declared that we are liars, and he did not bother to look at our questions or address our concerns. And that is because that is how he sees America. He sees us as needing him to come and fix us. He sees America as greedy liars. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Carter comes out and says that he thinks Americans are bigoted racists. You know, at least those who oppose Obama. The more than 1 million who gathered in D.C. and the other millions who, by the way, gathered in smaller local meetings all across the nation. Carter sees America differently than we do. There's the bottom line. He sees America as a bad people who are steeped in racism. And Obama must agree because even though he keeps sending others out to correct Carter's misrepresentation of Obama's detractors, Obama has not himself come out and corrected Carter's misrepresentation of the American people. And that is because, as we already know, we know from his books, we know from what he has said, we know from Michelle Mabel's own mouth, we know from what his preacher of 20 years has said over and over again. They agree with Carter. And so you see, it's true. They do not know us. Even if we show up on their front lawn and they look right in our face, they can't see us. Eric Holder, during a Black History Month event at the Justice Department, said that America is, quote, essentially a nation of cowards, end quote. I'm telling you, these people really do not know who we are. Gibbs was right. The 1.7 million and the other millions of us who agree with that crowd, he doesn't know that group. When the police arrested Gates for his unruly behavior and verbally assaulting a police officer who was simply doing his duty, Obama admitted he really didn't know what happened, but he knew enough to be able to know that the white guys were the ones who acted stupidly. At least that's what he had to say about the incident, an incident he admitted he didn't know enough about to make any comment. Nonetheless, offered this comment. The police acted stupidly. How do you know that? But anyway, we could go on and on with examples of the utter disconnect that is developing, that really was already there, but is beginning to become apparent between Obama and the grassroots American people. I mean, even the black voters are beginning to see this guy for what he is, a mess. By the way, let me close with this. I'd never do this, but I'm just going to read through this article. I might jump some places, but I want to bring to your attention an article written by a syndicated columnist by the name of Star Parker. And you should know, as I begin reading, that this lady is a black lady, and she's writing from a perspective from the inside of that whole culture. Okay, that's important to set that up. Listen to this. Americans of all political persuasions agree that the nation has problems, big problems. And here's where we all part company. The political left, who now control our government, thinks we need more government, a lot more. Those on the right see our problems as the result of excess government and want to move things in the opposite direction. The fact that Democrats, with their man in the White House and control of both houses of Congress, are having difficulty getting their big government programs passed says something about the strength of the grassroots pushback now taking place. And now listen to this. Stirring is even occurring among blacks. According to the Pew Research Center, the president's approval rating nationwide is now 10 points lower than last April. Included in this is a 3-point drop in his approval rating among blacks. And then she goes on to write, you might say, Star, a drop in approval ratings among blacks from 95% to 92% is trivial. But I say, not so. Now listen to what she has to say. If we assume this reflects the 16 million blacks who voted for Obama last November, a 3-point shift means there are about a 500,000 blacks who now have buyer's remorse. This is meaningful. Okay, you needed that backdrop, but here's the main idea I want to bring to your attention from this article. Starr goes on to say, quote, you take real risks going against the establishment in black America, psychological risks, professional risks, and sometimes risks to personal safety. Peeling off a black who voted for Obama means moving heaven and earth, she says. And she goes on, even a star like Bill Cosby incurred the wrath of the black establishment when he started talking about black families and personal responsibility. I remember that, by the way. And then, quote, as a result, he backed off and toned down his message. And then she goes on, quote, recall during the campaign, candidate Obama ruffled Jesse Jackson's feathers when he spoke about personal responsibility among black males. And inadvertently on microphone picked up Jackson saying that he wanted to castrate Obama. And then in parentheses, Star notes, not exactly in that language. Further, she goes on to say, quote, the black conservative is not that rare freak of nature that so many think. According to a Pew Research Center report, almost a third of blacks consider themselves conservative. However, these folks have always been inclined to be quiet because of the social pressures and intimidation. Despite slurs, intimidation, and widely reported physical attacks from union thugs, a few brave black souls have showed up at Tea Party protest rallies. I'm getting more and more calls, she says, from black conservatives around the country running for local office. She points out, quote, I see black conservative websites popping up, and there's even black rappers rapping a conservative message, end quote. Oh, wow, because imagine that. She goes on to say, quote, it's black families that have been devastated by welfare state programs and black kids now trapped in hopeless public schools. And it's overwhelmingly black unborn children who never see the light of day. She goes on to say, quote, how can blacks who have their eyes open not have noticed that it was Obama who killed the D.C. school voucher program and sent black children back to one of the worst public school systems in the country? Okay, I got to move toward a close, but in the last paragraph of her very good article, she writes, I see a new generation of freedom-loving, church-going black Americans coming on the scene. Many voted for Obama out of racial pride, but their values and aspirations for freedom are causing a change of heart, end quote. Now, folks, I've actually seen some of this firsthand. Quite a while back, a black pastor asked me to come to his church and do a family seminar on parenting. He was concerned about how the families in the black culture, the black community, were practically disintegrating, and, as he put it, on the white man's plantation. That was the first time I ever heard that expression. When we discussed it, he was referring specifically to welfare, but other attitudes among liberal Democrats as well. He was referring to the fact that many black families have become generational welfare families, you know, where the father is absent and the government has kind of stepped in to take the place of the father. And this, by the way, was his assessment. I was not sufficiently aware of the dynamics of black Compton culture to make any kind of assessment like that. But the truth is I began to work with this brother and got to know him better and better and met and interacted with other pastors and his people. I couldn't help but notice he was right on. I began to understand what he was seeing. And I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. I tell you, the people most betrayed by our government are the blacks, but not in the way the liberals portray it. They've been betrayed by the liberals. Their own leaders have advanced policies that have decimated the homes and families of the black community in large segments, all basically to build their own little careers, their own little kingdoms. It's a travesty. Well, anyway, hats off to you, Star. I saw the rumblings of what you're noticing some years ago. I think there will be an awakening generally in all of America. I'm certainly praying for it. And if the liberals do not wake up and see us, if they don't figure out who we are, well, we're going to wipe them away in the polls, my friend, in the ballot box. Okay, it's time to call in and give me a piece of your mind to chew on. Call me at 1-888-770-8000. It is toll-free. And the number again is 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me or send me an email. You can email me through our website. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. You know the drill, all lowercase, one word. santamarialighthouse.org. Or give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Give me a piece of your mind to chew on. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach with another 15-second brain massage on Bible prophecy. Iraq is the location of ancient Babylon. Daniel had a vision of Babylon in the time of the end, represented as a lion with the wings of an eagle. When the eagle's wings are plucked, the lion stands to receive the heart of a man. Think about it.
Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. for two complete brand new brain massage shows.